CliffCentral.com.
All right, so Phil, we've got a very specific bunch of questions that people want answered, and I thought you're the best guy to help us figure this stuff out, right?
Sure.
First of all, I mean, we had such a crazy year last year, and you and I met during lockdown last year, and I've really enjoyed the experience of kind of driving these different cars, because what the hell do I know about cars? You're educating me from the ground up. But I'm interested in generally whether people are upgrading or downgrading at the moment, because they're driving a lot less, right?
Sure. It's true. I mean, I think the majority of people are downgrading vehicles. I mean, if you're talking about downgrading or driving less.
Well, I think that a lot of people, because they're driving less, they probably think, well, why should I be driving the fancy show-off car that I was driving before, or maybe the one that I needed to be more comfortable because I was on the road for like 2 hours a day, and now they're on the road for 30 minutes a day, and they're like, ah, you know what, I could probably do this in a little Hyundai or something, rather than worry about the more expensive Merc.
Well, I think it goes two ways. I mean, if you've put on a lot of less mileage last year, I mean, you're probably going to keep your vehicle longer. Because you just didn't do the mileage you used to do. So that's one side of it. And then the other side is obviously true what you said. I mean, if you don't need a vehicle to travel that much, why get something expensive with a huge monthly installment? Rather get something smaller and, just get an A to B. So yeah, that's true.
Are dealers having a rough time at the moment, or are you guys in general? Do you speak?
I think national. I mean, national, or if you took all the brands together, I mean, I think we're a little bit like something around about 10% down year to date, or year to year. You measure February to February, so it's not that much of a difference. But I mean, it's very brand specific. So I mean, from a affordability. A vehicle like your Toyotas, Hyundais, and so forth, they're still doing well. And some of them are just going up. Your luxury vehicles are your Mercedes, BMW, Audi, significantly went down in numbers. So, yeah, I mean, so the majority of people are downgrading, I believe. But it's interesting enough, your top earners will always be there, and they will always be buying. So when I say top earners, I mean, I'm saying vehicle prices of 1.8 and up, those guys will just be there forever.
If you've got a 1.7 million rand car, you're not a top earner. Just all right. It's like, wow, from starting at 1.8 million rand, you could be a top earner. So if you've got the 1.9 million rand car, you literally park in the far part of the parking lot in top earner.
The reason why I said 1.8 was, I mean, your GLE, for instance, your GLE 400, that goes for about 1.8 now. So that was the cutoff point.
That's the benchmark.
Yeah, but I'll pull you through on 1.7. We can make a deal.
Thanks. Yeah, 1.75 max. I just can't go all the way to 8.
So let me ask you this, because, again, like you guys at DeWitt Motors, you don't just have Mercedes, even though, you know, that's kind of your flagship stuff. But you actually sell a whole bunch of different cars, right?
Yes, yeah. We'll do Honda as well, and Mitsubishi. And then obviously the commercial side as well, trucks and Busters and Sprinters and so forth. Yeah.
What are your roads like in Ermelo? Have you guys got a lot of potholes, or are they?
It's an absolute mess. Yeah.
Oh, really?
Oh. Yeah, it's getting worse and worse as well. So that's a good point. I mean obviously, so I mean, we don't sell sedans anymore. I mean, everything we sell is either a mini SUV, medium SUV size, or big SUV, because you can't drive a sedan with small tires anymore. I mean, around town or in town. So
you have to sell all over the country, so you probably can get, you know, customers who are buying from you in Cape Town or whatever. It's not just.
I want to ask you if that's a literal direct product of potholes, because for me it's like more of a family thing. Like, people graduate from a small one or two person car that's quite practical, and then suddenly the next step is needing it for kids. So you get this upgrading to an SUV. Some people just like them because they're safe and big, I guess. But like, is there a correlation between an area's roads deteriorating and fewer people buying sedans? Because that's very interesting.
Absolutely. I mean, I mean, if I compare my numbers to a city dealer, I mean, they sell way more sedans, your A class, a C class, a C coupes than we do. I mean, everything we sell on the Mercedes-Benz side starts with a G, GLA, GLB, GLC, which is all SUV vehicles. So it's definitely that way. Yeah.
And those people you said they're still in the market. They still like buying new cars. There's no, that's not going to change. It's like your top cream of the cream people who
don't
spend money on a car.
It's interesting. I mean, I think me and you had this chat. Our most expensive SUV at the moment is the G-Wagon, your G63.
Right.
Going for 3.7, and that sells like donuts at the moment. I mean, if you get three, you'll sell them in the next day. All three will be gone.
3.7. And tell me, Phil, is that where they start? And if you want like the tinted sunroof, like is 3.7 the big daddy / mommy, non-gender descript patriarch?
The G63s are quite fully loaded, so there's not a lot of extras you can add.
Because for my 3.7 million, I mean, I know I said I was going to stop at 1.8, but you're talking it up, and I can go to 3.7, but I don't want to have to pay for bigger mags or a special
seat.
You can
squeeze out
a bit more. You're throwing in some things, and you got a deal. I'm buying it, but I'm not paying for any extras. We'll talk after. Thanks, dude.
We'll talk after it's shot, man. Yeah.
So I can't help it. I went and had a look, and apparently you've got a Ferrari FF listed there on your site.
Oh, yes, yeah. The Ferrari was, we didn't trade a Ferrari in. I mean, we had this one customer who just liked to sell his car, and we offered to try and sell it for him. So I actually should take it down because I think it has been sold. So, yeah,
Easy thing to sell? You take on an exotic, really expensive Ferrari. Do you think, okay, we got our work cut out for us, but it's going to be worth it? Or do you go, this guy needs help selling it. That's a cash in. Let's help him.
You see, Ferrari is a little bit different for the Ermelo market. I mean, it's once again, it's a sedan and not a SUV.
Potholes. That's why I don't have a Ferrari.
That's the only reason.
Where can I drive it? I mean, I'd have to put it on a tow thing, take it to the track. I'd already do that with my Bugatti. No.
But yeah, I mean, if you use Auto Trader, what we use, obviously you can advertise nationally. And then, everybody can see it. You can see it in your office where you're sitting in Pretoria. So, I mean, if you're in the market and the price is right, I mean, there's a price for every car. I mean, if it's 2 million, 3 million, 4 million, it's all relative. So, at the end of the day.
May I ask what the Ferrari went for?
I can't remember. I mean, Gareth, what was the price there on the...
I think it was about three million, right about there, if I can remember correctly. So, all right, let's just talk about what I'm driving at the moment I'm getting a whole bunch of. This is the first time that I've driven a Japanese car ever in my life, and part of the reason that we're doing this thing with Phil and David Motors is because I don't know a lot about cars. So the only way I'm going to discover a lot about cars is if I drive them. So I've driven a Merc, I've driven the Bucky for a while. I've driven a bunch of different cars, and this is the first time I've had a Japanese one. So it took me a while to get used to the indicator being on the opposite side to the windscreen wipers. I still switch on the windscreen wipers when I turn instead of the indicator.
I still do it. I've been driving my first indicator on the right car that I've ever had for 2.5-3 years, and still always put the windscreen wiper on.
But this is the short wheelbase Pajero, and it's a really nice car. I can't figure out whether I want the back seats down or up, because the only passenger in my car is usually my dog, and he's now sitting on the front seat. So
you know what I did? I took mine out.
Oh, you take them out completely?
Exactly, yeah. Because I'm also driving one, so yeah, I just took it out completely, yeah.
There's a lot of space when you take those back seats out. Hey? That's a huge boot. I mean, like you could fit. It's monstrous.
Exactly. I mean,
Phil? What was that?
No, I mean, if you're taking the seats out, it's like a short wheelbase Bucky. You know, out of space and that's what I did. So yeah, that's an option because I don't like the seats either. I mean, it takes a lot of the space back in the boot. Yeah. If you take them down. Yeah.
I did have Sia as a passenger in that car a little while ago when we went to Constitution Hill, and there were three of us in the car, so Sia sat in the back. And he didn't complain. He wasn't moaning. So there is space when you've got those seats up as well, and there's still a little bit, you know.
That's right as well.
I'm hearing you guys using this term. What does it mean? What does short wheel mean?
Yeah, there are just two versions. There's a long one and a short one. So the other one is the bigger one is a 7-seater or 5-seater with 2 seats that fold back in the boots, and this is just a shorter one. Yeah.
Yeah. So Sia, if you look at the car from the side and you can see, I don't know, it's so hard with this mirror thing. You can see how far apart from each other the two wheels are. They make one that's got that much, and then they decide they want a longer one, so they literally move the wheels further apart, and you've got a bit more car in the middle. So that's why you get longer and shorter, but it affects the handling and a couple of other things as well. So some people buy it for the space, they want the longer one, and other people buy it because it drives differently.
That is the best handling. You know what, can I tell you something?
Make some
Gord just explained short wheelbase to Sia better than I ever could. Well done.
So you'll get the ordinary one, and then some people will want the short wheelbase one.
So listen, the thing about these Japanese cars, they're actually pretty damn reliable. I mean, I think there are, if you consider how many people, and I see a lot of Pajeros now that I'm driving one, I see a lot of them all over the place. A nice car, it's very economical. This one's a diesel, so it seems to give me quite a lot of range. And even though, as I said, I'm driving a lot less than usual, it's a hell of a nice car inside.
And diesel's very clean these days.
It
like
is.
It's really good.
It's like a very straightforward thing to drive. It's not complicated at all. Would you agree with that, Phil?
Yeah, sure. I mean, and then, I mean, going back to what Gord mentioned on extras, for instance, I mean, you get a Pajero 3.2 diesel short wheelbase. There's only one model. The one you're driving is RCDs. I mean, you can't spec it otherwise. There's not a manual or a petrol or anything else. I mean, there's just one model. There are no optional extras. That's how it is. So as it is, it comes out standard. Yeah.
And haven't they stopped making these or something? There are only a few left available.
That's right. Yeah. I mean, that was one of the reasons I borrowed to you, because I mean, I don't think we'll ever get the chance again. Because I mean, I think in the next week or so, the ship will dock, and then Pajeros will be finished until the end of days.
And then that's it, right? They're not making any more of these anywhere.
Exactly. Yeah. These are literally the last bunch that we've got. So, I mean, we ordered a couple for stock reasons. And obviously, it's a supply and demand thing. As soon as the last one has been sold, it probably, in my view, it will become some of a, you know, an icon or so for future purposes.
I said it's a straightforward thing to drive. And I want to ask you a general question here, because I wonder how many people are driving four-wheel drive cars in South Africa and don't actually know how to use them. You know, it's got two gear levers, effectively. The one gives you two-wheel or four-wheel, rear or front. And most people, including me, don't know what the hell that is. I mean, most people have it in their car. It's an incredible mechanical and technological advancement. And because they're not driving through, dry riverbeds and on obstacle courses, they don't ever really get to exercise that stuff. Do you think
I didn't actually even know that the Pajero is a full function four-wheel drive. I thought it was one of those nice, safe, family, comfortable SUVs for Sharons and potholes.
No, dude, you can engage this four-wheel drive, and it's quite an incredible thing. But do you think most people even know how to use that, Phil?
You know, I think it depends where you stay. You know, I mean, you should have seen how it looked here after Eloise, Cyclone Eloise, beginning of end of January. So, I mean, if you did in that 4x4, and you were staying on a farm, you were screwed. I mean, you were stuck on your farm. So, I mean, and everybody knows.
Phil sent me pictures of flood.
Oh, on the ball.
Phil sent me pictures of this flood. Yeah, geez, man. So apparently, did you know, Gord, Phil's full of information, the Vaal River actually starts in Ermelo.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
I would have thought it would have started in Irma High and then flowed downhill.
Okay.
Irma High.
I got Gareth at least once on the show.
It's a dumb joke, but I just love that.
It's terrible, I know.
All right, just quickly, because we are running out of time here, and I there's so much I want to ask you. So let me get straight to the point. There are people who are thinking of buying new cars now, and there are people who are thinking of buying used cars right now. give them advice, not as the car dealer now, but as someone who, like, imagine I'm your friend and I need advice from you. Would now be the right time? What would you advise? Let's say my budget is X or Y. So give us two options. Give us, like, someone like Gord who has millions of rands and wants to buy the G-Wagon with
millions,
all the X.
Two or three. You make out like I'm being wasteful.
And then give us someone who's, you know, like Sia has to buy another car because his car has been written off. Is it being written off, Sia? Is that the story?
Yeah. So
did you parallel park,
Sia? Yes, Gord, that's what happened. So technically I am on the market now.
No. So give
in more ways than one
to Sia and a different piece of advice to Gord.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah, sorry, Sia, that's bad news. Sorry to hear about it. I think usually the first question we will ask you is more or less what you'd like to spend. Either on a cash payment or monthly installment wise. A quick or easy way to work it out is for every 50,000 that you finance, you will pay 1,000 rand a month. Okay, so if your vehicle is worth 100,000 or you finance 100,000, your installment will be 2 grand a month. Okay, if your vehicle is, you buy it for 400,000, your installment will be 8,000. So that's more or less a way of working out what you would like to spend per month or so.
Okay.
So we can chat afterwards and I'll give you a couple of options and see what we can do, what you had before, what you would like now, what didn't you like in the in your previous car, what would you like in your next car, and so on.
I'm interested to know because it actually applies to me directly. I've got a Toyota and it's, like, as Gareth mentioned, it's very reliable, but it's an Auris, and there's really nothing I like about it. It's the most vanilla car in the world, and I also bought it from someone I'm not particularly fond of. But I paid 125k for it when it was 7 years old, and I've had it for 3 years. It's now 10 years old, and I'd like to sort of side trade it for something of similar value that's just not this car. But I wonder, like, at this time, if I feel I'm going to lose a lot of equity on the car, and it's going to cost me a lot of money to side grade. At this time, I won't get the value of the car to me out of it by selling it because it's a shit market, right?
I don't think so. I don't think it's a bad market at all. I mean, at the moment, I mean, if we take new vehicle prices, I mean, in the last year, if we take the last 18 months, I mean, most of the manufacturers have had a price increase of almost 25%. So.
And if you want a white Toyota Auris with no personality, but it's reliable as shit, you can give me anything you want. Give me a bicycle with a small motor and you can have an Auris.
You will sell your vehicle in 5 seconds, I promise you. I mean, there will always be a market for that car. Absolutely. I mean, you can just imagine.
Let's press go on that.
Yeah.
I'll WhatsApp you some photos after the show.
No worries. Yeah. But then we need to see what we're going to replace you with. And I mean, the one side is you will get more for your car, but the other side is, I mean, you're going to pay more for a new car.
Give me that McGann that people keep selling to other people because it never works. I'll take it.
I mean, it sounds to me like my question and advice has probably brought you two new sales this morning.
It's a question I've been wondering about. It doesn't bother me enough, especially since I drive once or twice a week now, that it's, like, on my mind to make a plan about it. And I've got this perceived, look, it's probably not a good time anyway, and who really cares? Like I said, if I can get something just similar, not even an upgrade or a downgrade, without having to pay in too much.
Yeah.
I'm your guy, and I'm glad to know that that's a feasible option because now I'm going to do it.
Yeah. No, I mean, let's start with a quote. That's the easiest way, and then, I mean, we can take it there, and then we can see we can go up and down and see what's going to work for you. Yeah, easy.
I love it.
So the answer is contact Phil if you don't know what to do.
So listen, while we're doing that, you can follow all of the DeWitt Motors social media accounts. You'll find them on Instagram. You'll also find a picture there of the Pajero that I'm driving at the moment, which is awesome. And you can ask Phil directly if you have any questions. He's the guy to talk to. He's in charge there. And, you know, if anyone can make it work, it's him. That's
Dr. DeWitt Phil.
DE WIT Motors. And we'll put all the different links on cliffcentral.com. After this podcast. So, all right, Phil, very good to see you, dude.
Yeah, same here, guys. Yeah, thank you very much. CliffCentral.com.